after you heard the introduction before. So I'm just going to take it from the top and welcome you again to the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Today is the 22nd day of September 2020, and I'm happy to be with you. And today we have a special program. Our call number is still 434-1790. You can still reach us using the chat at 266-IVOB. You can email me directly, peter.w.wakeham@gmail.com. However, today's program has a special focus, and today we spend the first hour with the NTA National Training for Transformation Initiative. It's called the National Training for Transformation Initiative, and I'm happy to have three special guests this morning that will take us through this program, tell us a bit about this new initiative the government is promoting, and you can call and you can ask your questions. As I said, we spend the first hour with the NTA, and thereafter we will have what we could call regularly scheduled programming. The guest this morning, I want to introduce you to Miss Alison Leacock, who is perhaps a lady that needs very little introduction. Alison Leacock is in this capacity the director of the National Training for Transformation Initiative. Alison, welcome to Brass Tacks Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Peter. And we have trained for transformation and transformed ourselves from the National Training Initiative to the National Transformation Initiative.
Okay. So we shall remember that for the remainder of this morning's program, that we are the National Transformation Initiative. We also have on the line, they're going to need to unmic their microphones, Ms. Maria Holder-Small, who is a change activist for inclusion and equality with the initiative. Maria, are you there? Good morning. Okay, we'll get Maria on the line shortly. And we also have Adrian Green, who is a person that needs very little introduction. In this capacity, Adrian is also a change activist, and he deals with culture and transformation. Are you there, Adrian? Okay. All right, we'll work on
I saw Adrian on earlier.
Yeah, I did as well. Yeah, we'll work on getting Adrian and Maria together. But in the meantime, we'll chat with Dr. Leacock about this new initiative, which has actually morphed in a very short space of time to a training initiative, to a transformation initiative. So Alison, tell us a bit about this new initiative that is still relatively young.
It is indeed. And although the Prime Minister talked about it, almost 2 years to the day, on the 18th of September, in the context of the Barbados Economic Recovery and Transformation Program, the BERT program. We are actually the component that was also with the acronym, the RERE program. So we are part of the retooling, empowering, retraining, and enfranchising of workers. It is, in fact, the Section 4A of the BERT growth strategy. And of course, under the BERT plan, for economic growth to be sustainable, it means that everyone of working age must be placed in a position to contribute meaningfully to Barbados's development. So our remit is ultimately for the informal, the third, and the private sectors. Obviously, we interface with a number of government agencies and partner ministries, but our role is beyond training in the traditional sense. And so that is part of why our transformed name is relevant, because it has to move past just giving people the knowledge to embracing skills and characteristics that prepare us as a workforce for the 21st century, and that we are in fact using the 21st century skills.
All right, so let's just clarify a bit, because there's a bit certainly of confusion in my mind. We talk about training. You're in the habit of registering for a course, you go, you do a course, you get a certificate saying you've completed the course, and that means then you're qualified to get a job. How does yours differ from the traditional concept that we would have of a training program? In terms of delivery.
Understood. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that we want to be able to do is excite people about learning. There's a mindset that training is only for young people. And once you have qualified and you have this certificate, then you're tailor-made to get a job. And we've seen that that is no longer the case. That what we have really to do is get a workforce that is globally fit for purpose, that is agile, that is, you know, responsive to change, dynamic, and not wedded to exactly only what they learned, but can adapt it to the environment in which they find themselves.
Okay.
COVID has forced us, obviously, to provide e-courses so that people can access training. We initially wanted to do some very dynamic face-to-face training, but what we are going to be doing a lot more of, e-learning, blended learning, and experiential learning approaches. And by that, I mean, we are going to be moving from the traditional subject-centered learning to focus on the learner and problems that can be solved. And it means that our training modalities will not be in the classroom, will not be stilted, but will include learning in a, for example, if you go on nti.org.bb, our site, you can click to our e-courses, but you can also go to our media center that includes some blended opportunities for training, which we did, for example, with the Barbados Workers Union. Between July and September, we did 28 sessions with them. They were training a number of displaced hotel workers. And in those sessions, Adrian Green, who is a change activist, Peter.
Oh, my apologies. Activist. My apologies.
And so, that's all right. That's all right. Adrian is a change activist who is really going to be focusing on how we address cultural transformation. And Maria Holder-Small is our change activist who is focusing on inclusion for equality for people with disabilities. So we are using multiple approaches to reach people where they are, because we all learn differently. And that is what we want to demonstrate in our offerings. Obviously, we have to partner with institutions like TVET and the Accreditation Council. We've met with the Small Business Association. So there will be a number of partnerships, and we will not be reinventing the wheel. Where there are existing courses, we will have links for people to be able to access those courses. But there are some fundamental things that we will offer that will be unique. And one is our flagship course, the citizenship course. So I'll tell you more about that later.
Okay, we can talk a bit about that, but there are three things I want to raise. I want to raise questions of cost. I want to raise questions of access in terms of the electronic access facilities. And I also want to raise questions of accreditation. So what are the courses cost? How do I access these courses? If I am in a situation where I have to pay for data, I don't have access to a free facility and I want to do it online. And then thirdly, when I finish the courses, do I get a certificate? And is that certificate likely to get me anything that I would not have already had?
Well, we are very happy to say that this is all being offered to Barbadians absolutely free. We have created an opportunity for full access. And I say access, I hope Maria, we've been able to tease out the technical issues, but Maria can talk more about this, but the actual website is fully accessible. We did visit with the president of the Barbados Council for the Disabled, our TAP team. It's a young team. They've done some great work for us. And they met with President Kerry-Ann Ifill to ensure that the site was indeed accessible for those who are blind or visually impaired.
Okay, great.
We also have access for those who are deaf and hearing impaired. And in relation to the question you asked about data, the site is zero rated. Both Cable and Wireless and Digicel are on board, and therefore it helps to reduce the digital divide in many ways, because whether or not you are connected to Wi-Fi, and whether or not you have to log on and do the course on your cell phone, we are designed that you can do that without utilizing your data.
Brilliant.
So it is fully accessible.
Okay. And the third thing, which is the accreditation, the certificate,
oh, yes,
or whatever.
The certificate. Yeah. Once you complete our courses are professionally designed using best practice for instructional message design. So all of our e-learners will be self-directed. You go on the website and you get your own dashboard. So it has, you have your own profile, mm-hmm. and you just go through your courses. If you've sort of stopped at your course, we'll kind of check in on you and ask you if you've had a problem, why you aren't completing. Okay. So there may be 15 of 22 steps for a course or something like that. But mm-hmm. otherwise, once you have completed all of the quizzes for each course, you then click on the certificate icon and voila, your certificate is generated with your name, fully branded, and you have your certificate. I do want to intercept your assumption that the certificate is an automatic guarantee of work. That would be going a bit far. That I can't guarantee. But what we are hoping and our goal is, once we have provided you with some opportunities to retool, that you are more confident and better able to navigate the very uncertain future that is presented to all of us. And therefore, you are able to either make yourself available for alternative employment or to become self-employed. And we do have specific courses to walk you through that, entrepreneurship, course skills, et cetera, that will help you in that process.
Yeah, we're going to go to Maria shortly because I just saw her settling in. But I just want to ask you a question which came in online just now. Someone is asking, well, basically, what are the specific types of courses that can be done? And is it professional level, degree level? At what level are the courses pitched? So this is a question that's just coming.
Well, our first set of courses are generally wide open for people 13 years and up. With no limitation. We obviously will be moving towards professional accreditation in some instances, but we also know that there are a number of organizations that already have access to CVQs and NVQs, like the Small Business Association, with whom we met yesterday. They already do some work with TVET for entrepreneurs. So our intention is to have various hubs for different sectors of the society, with links. So if you do come to our site as a central repository for all things related to training, ultimately what we want to be is that hub that allows you, once you have come on board and you've decided to do one or more of our courses, then you may also decide that you want to explore some courses that are offered by others. And we would have the link available for you to click on that. With regard to the specific courses that are currently online for us, we have the online safety course. We have a core skills course, which is one of a three set of courses offered in an employability project being done in partnership with the Ministry of Labor and the International Labor Organization. So the NTI actually did the instructional design and multimedia design for the core skills course. But there are two other courses. One is occupational safety and health, which is really critical at this juncture with COVID. That has just been uploaded to our site. And that instructional design was done by the International Labor Organization. And the third course from that employability project is going to be entrepreneurship, also designed by the International Labor Organization. In addition to that, we have our citizenship course, which embraces all of us being the best Bajan. So we look at a range of issues that as Barbadians, we want to look at: excellence and integrity, effective communication skills in everyday life, developing new competencies, active teamwork, and understanding my national identity. So that is part of our citizenship course. It is up and running. We will encourage every Barbadian to log on and experience this course because it is an interactive experience, as all of our online courses are. And then we are working right now on an introduction to coding, an introduction to sign language, We are also looking at digital literacy, financial literacy, training needs assessment, and training the trainer. Those are what we hope to have on the site completed by the end of this year. And of course, many more in the pipeline based on partnerships and links with other institutions.
And this is all free of cost?
Absolutely free of cost.
Absolutely free of cost. Okay. Well, Maria, I don't know whether you can unmute. And you need to unmute your mic. Maria? Thank you.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, welcome to the program, Maria. I'm told that I misinterpreted or I misread my autocorrect did and suggested that you were an activist and not an artivist. So my apologies for incorrectly designating you. What exactly does a change artivist do?
Good morning, Peter. Good morning to your producer and good morning, listeners. Well, the word artivist, as you know, it comes and you hear the word this. So we know that it is about activism. No, I'm not an artist, but I have a story to tell. Mm-hmm. And my story, only I can tell it. Now, I can also include other persons with disabilities to share their story. So at the end of us sharing that story, we become people to advocate for the cause, to make things as inclusion and equal for persons with disabilities in Barbados. And by far, not only Barbados, we are looking to be the star of the Caribbean. We already boast that we are, but through NTI and the transformation that we are looking to bring about, that is my explanation to the word artivist.
Okay. So your role in the transformation initiative. Tell us a bit about your role in transformation initiative.
Okay. My role is to go about and bring change and be a voice for persons with disabilities. So it's not only Maria. But my role is to make sure that persons with disabilities are included in every single way. So then we become equal and we are not left behind. As in the past, I always say this, and while I was the president for the Barbados Council for the Disabled, I would always say, let us not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. So through our director, Dr. Leacock, who is no stranger to the disabled community at all. Through her vision for wanting to include persons with disabilities, that is where the platform was formed. So we have the platform where we have the equal opportunity to make sure that persons with disabilities are given the chance. So for me, my role is to make sure that the team knows about all that is going on as much as possible, I should say, that I can get my hands on what is going on around the island for persons with disabilities. Try to highlight stories so that we don't want anyone to pity us. So my role is just activism and being a good advocate, and as much as I can, let us share our stories to show people that persons with disabilities, we are no different.
Right. Maria, there are a couple of important things I've been thinking about with the disability issue. I remember when I was a Boy Scout, that was a while ago. I believe that Allison would have been a little younger then. We had a camp where we were taught basic sign language, and there were some deaf scouts, and they were also part of the program. And basically our summer assignment was to speak to them and say, you know, little things. I thought that was a brilliant idea. So I'm happy to hear that you're going to introduce a formal course with sign language. I think that too few of us appreciate the benefit of the average individual being able to speak simple sign language, because there are quite a few people around who are unable to speak in the normal way. And I think it's nice to be able to have a conversation, a very basic conversation, and say, hello, how are you, things like that. I think they would appreciate it. The other thing is there are some simple rules of etiquette regarding persons who are not only deaf, but visually, visually impaired, hearing impaired, physically impaired. And I believe it would be a good idea to have a course that teaches us some types of etiquette. For example, how do you assist a person that's visually impaired? Do you lead them or do you let them lead you? How do you do it? Do you hold them or do you let them hold you? In terms of going up and down steps, do you precede them? Do you follow them? You know, things of that nature, so that we can be sensitive in terms of the language that we use to persons who are impaired. Persons who are disabled, and then also the way that we deal with them on a physical basis. Is there something like that in the office?
I'll backtrack a bit, but I'll start first by saying, through our collaboration with the Barbados Workers Union, we were able to offer some courses in the last 8 weeks through their program. And the first one we offered was disability etiquette.
Okay.
So it seems like you were in that class.
I should have been.
They touched all of the points and more. We dealt with inclusion, we dealt with access, we dealt with communication, we also dealt with, so at the end of that class, you left knowing how to. So you left with the knowledge if you didn't have it before. So a lot of the topics that you touched just now, we would have covered in that session. But I'll put in a plug for the Barbados Council for the Disabled, where they have an awesome sensitivity disability program going on, where you're allowed to then go into different business places, establishments, and they teach you how to. Different persons bring in their stories and experiences, and it's all done by persons with disabilities. So the NTI will be partnering with the Barbados Council for the Disabled in terms of pushing, but we have our own program, you know, in a different package, but the same message.
Yeah, well, that's an excellent idea, because I am very much wedded to this idea that Barbados needs to become a place where diversity is the norm, and where we accept that someone who is visually impaired has as much right to the sidewalk as me. And you know, they need to be accommodated and they need to be assisted. You know, we don't have very many examples. We don't see people with CNI dogs moving around. You know, we don't see disabled people moving around a lot on their own. But we have to get accustomed to the idea that as our population grows and expands, persons with disabilities are not going to just sit by and let the world go on. And certainly we need to be on board for that. I see Adrian is also now part of the discussion. Adrian, you need to unmute your mic so that we can hear you. Thank you, sir. So Adrian, I understand you're also a change activist and have already established the meaning of that title. What role do you play in this exercise? My understanding is that your focus is culture. What kind of perspective do you bring to this initiative, sir?
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Brastak's family and everyone on the call. As from my perspective, there are very few elements of a society that are more active and influential than the art. And the art that a society produces and consumes in very deep ways affects the direction that the society goes in. So my role in this is to help facilitate the production of art and creative output that will help the society to transform in ways that we find progressive and desirable. And in addition to that, I am very focused on what I like to term the foundations of transformation. So when we talk about transformation in society, oftentimes we talk about transformation in a symptomatic way or on what I call the top end. So to use the example that you were just discussing with Maria, It's one thing to teach people etiquette when dealing with the disabled. It's another thing to facilitate a deep appreciation of the disabled and the diversity and the benefits of a diverse society and a society that appreciates diversity. That's not so much technique, training and techniques and skills, as it is in developing values, beliefs, and attitudes. And that's where my heart is focused. How do we develop a society that fundamentally appreciates diversity, adaptability, and flexibility in the way that takes us forward in an increasingly uncertain world?
Okay. All right, that sounds good. I mean, the challenge of culture, or the challenge of an appreciation of culture, is always that we tend to think it's one of these fluffy concepts that doesn't really fit well within the hard world. And I'm happy that you're making creating an accommodation for us to appreciate how it all fits in. Because I do agree with you entirely that it's one thing to say that you understand how to relate to a disabled person, but I think it's another thing to understand fully what a diverse community means and that everyone's part of it. Dennis tells me that we have some calls on the line. We're going to try to see if we can take a few calls. I want to stress to those of you who are calling that this first hour is really all about the National Transformation Initiative. So if your call relates to that, we're happy to entertain you. If your call does not relate to that, then perhaps you can call us back after the first hour is passed. So shall we go to the telephone lines, Dennis? Say, okay, Dennis is telling me not to go to the telephone lines. It seems as though we have the people on who want to talk about other things that I don't want to hurt you guys. head with, okay? There's a question that is coming on the chat about retraining for employment and a suggestion that they're not really hearing about retraining for employment. So for example, a person who was employed in the airline industry, and you know, we have tons of people who were involved in the airline industry, virtually all of whom now are at home and facing an extremely uncertain future. What can the Training Institute do for a person like that who is worked all their life in one industry, that industry has virtually collapsed and with no likely date of restart, and they want to know what you can do for them in terms of retraining? I guess Alison would be the best person.
Yes, I'm happy to say that in the throne speech, there were some specific interventions alluded to there that directly involve the NTI, with perhaps understandably the largest workforce that is currently looking to retool. And that is in the context of the BEST program. So one dimension of that, of course, is the training. And government is investing in companies to re-engage their workers, to take them and the company to a financially better and more resilient place. And companies participating in the BEST plan will have to present training plans for all of their workers who will be re-engaged. So NTI is earmarked to assist with the preparation of those training plans and work to provide companies with a raft of training options that are specifically designed for them. And of course, that menu of training, as it were, may not be ready at the time the scheme actually begins, but will be shortly thereafter. So one of the things is, of course, the training for the tourism sector. But overall, what we are looking to develop is a cadre of a workforce that is hungry to learn new skills. And our core skills program that is online on NTI, that was done in partnership with the Employability Project, that course is a natural foundation course for people looking to explore other options. Similarly, the entrepreneurship course, as well as some of the surprises that we have in the pipeline in partnership with the Small Business Association. And we are in the medium term also looking to include a software that has been designed by a Caribbean professional who's worked extensively in Jamaica with the HEART program, Dr. Carolyn Hale, who has a VCP program that will allow us to look for what is the best fit for workers' skills. Now, this will take some time for us to set up, but we believe that this is really the best way for us to go so that we are not training for training's sake, but training for employability. And I think that is really what we have to look towards. We can use, for example, employers' job descriptions to design appropriate training opportunities. But I also want to say, Peter, that our employers also have to look inward and review their own systems. There are, in fact, three planks on which any transformation can happen in this context. The first is our people. They have to be able to hone their skills, even identify their skills. Very often we fall into jobs and we haven't thought through carefully what our core skills are. The second, organizations and their systems and how we work. And I feel very strongly that the temptation is always to think that the training is required for the frontline workers and not the executive. And I beg to differ. I think our executives have, by and large, an unhealthy autocratic approach to the health of their organizations, don't necessarily value the role of every single employee and how they fit. And then we understand a lot why your frontline worker may be sour if the boss drove in, passed the guard, didn't say good morning, passed the cleaner, didn't say good morning, and passed even the receptionist and didn't say good morning. Because that suggests I'm not valued. So I can't have the kind of joy that I want to put in a nice, neat strategic plan that looks very good if I bring in a consultant and have all of these wonderful documents. But I'm not living the leadership that I want to inspire my team to have. And that inspiration really permeates an organization because the building is just one dimension. It's really the people that make it live. So I believe that the training for employability has to be a two-way street. And the final plank, of course, is the transformation that is required with our existing culture, which to a large extent is waiting for an instruction, not me. I'm not doing that. The last time I took some initiative, I get all over the coals. I was disciplined. So I'm not implementing a new idea. I'm not even thinking that I can contribute to this organization again, unless a supervisor or the manager instructs me. So what we really want to develop is a very different kind of leader where we are looking at not just an employer as somebody carrying out instructions, but functional leaders that are prepared to demonstrate and model the excellence that we are trying to have across the board in Barbados. We know that there are Bajans who are already excellent at what they do, and they demonstrate all the qualities of star Bajans. But we have also left a number of people sidelined, marginalized, who feel invisible. And our role as the NTI is to include as many people as we can. We have a tendency to want to filter people, and that is, of course, going back to our old collegial way of instruction, where I have the qualification and I got you because I'm going to show you how much more I know than you do, rather than wanting to empower you and enable you to bring you along so you begin to enjoy the wisdom I have. And our territorial approach, I'm not going to work in partnership with this entity because they're going to show us up. So I'm going to exclude them and I'm going to try and push myself forward. Country suffers because it is one country, it is one national budget, and we are all working towards the same destination. So a lot of those very nebulous areas that we don't like to address as a country, the NTI will address head on, because I think that we have a number of people highly qualified. Nobody wants to work with them because they have a bad attitude or because they're selfish and don't work as a team in the organization. So when we have that, it is counterproductive. It doesn't matter. You can have a barrel of certificates, because then it prevents the kind of excellence that we truly want to exemplify from happening, because there isn't this agreement or understanding that I'm as strong as the weakest link.
Okay, Alison, we have quite a few questions that have come up. The first one is asking about the age limitation of 60. Reeks of age discrimination. There's a question then, why would we be imposing a limitation, age limitation of 60 on the courses? Or alternatively, was that incorrectly read?
No, that was only related to an imposition by the Ministry of Labor on those three employability courses. And I am not sure. We did not feel that there ought to have been any limitation, because we don't have a limitation on the NTI platform. However, it may well be related to what they have to report in relation to their partnership with the ILO. But that is related to only those three courses.
Okay.
The so course otherwise, skills, the entrepreneurship. Yeah. But everything else on the NTI is absolutely, we have no age discrimination, no discrimination whatsoever on this site. Okay.
Because some of your contemporaries are here telling me online that they are a bit upset that you would eliminate them in that way.
Absolutely not.
The other question is whether the YouTube content associated with the NTI site, and I did go through the site and I noticed that there's quite a bit of YouTube content. How does the zero rating deal with that? Or is that a technical question that we would need to pose to Professor Devinish?
No, the reality is that there has to be some control on the YouTube component, because then you're coming off of our site.
Okay.
What we have done, though, is try to manage that, because we do have the videos available on the site without automatically going to YouTube. We have a YouTube channel that's separate, but the zero rating will still allow you to see those videos on our site. If you go to the YouTube site separately, that's a different matter.
Okay. And this one is from Maria. The question for the panel, with respect to the information or content that would have been delivered during the previous etiquette course about differently abled persons, would any person who was not in the class that's interested be able to access that specific content for their own purposes of edification? Right.
Yes, thanks for the question. Definitely. It will be posted online and you can partake of it after.
Okay, good. Well, those are three easy answers. My other question, this one is really for me. Are there any plans to introduce a program in etiquette, period? Not necessarily workplace-related etiquette, but just general etiquette, things that we ought to know. And I hate to use this example, but we had something before called a National Initiative on Service Excellence, which sadly presented a pig. As a role model, which I thought a lot of Muslims would have a problem with. But anyhow, let's not go back down that road. Any of those kinds of elements can be developed into a course that teaches us or presents citizenship in a way that says, you know, this is the things that we ought to do on a daily basis.
Absolutely, Peter. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we found in generating the citizenship course is that it had so many dimensions that we kept adding. So we kept adding modules. And I think going to do now is let the modules that are already up and running proceed. And then we can do some of these as separate, because I do believe that there are two. We do include the structure of government in our fifth module of the citizenship. I believe that there is value in having one that looks at governance, and then one certainly that would look at the broad term you use of etiquette. There are some people who have been on my case personally to introduce a course of this nature. And I think increasingly we are seeing the requirement and having a number of requests for it. I will caution you, however, that we will treat to the subject a little differently. And
no,
we
thanks.
Feel that that is one of the hallmarks one of the hallmarks of the NTI, our mandate by the Prime Minister is that we must model excellence.
Excellent.
And that is what we intend to do.
This is certainly refreshing to hear that there will be no pigs involved in that process. We talked a lot this morning about virtual programming and the affordability of virtual courses. Is there any intention when things settle down a bit to offer courses in a slightly more traditional way? Because there's a section of our community that still likes to interact with an instructor, chalk and talk, you know, like to come and sit down in a room and, you know, ask questions. And frankly, it's something that a lot of people who don't have anything to do now wouldn't mind doing. Is there any plan to move into the classroom? I know you have nice facilities now in Worthing, more administratively, but is there any plan to move into a physical domain?
I am going to say that we will be doing what is required as the need arises. We are currently, and both Adrian and Maria can speak to this, we have been engaged in face-to-face training with the Barbados Workers Union. I'd love Adrian to talk a little bit about his approach to those sessions, because we were nervous and it was very bold of the BWU to proceed with their face-to-face courses in July when people were still very nervous. And we found a way to make it blended by filming and editing and packaging it so it is on the site. But it, with regard to the face-to-face, I'll let Adrian.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Adrian.
The program that we did with the Barbados Workers Union was aimed at helping to prime persons for transformation. So one of the things that we identified as in need of transformation in Barbados is the attitude towards change and towards transformation, especially on a personal level. So what we currently have is, or what currently pervades, is a mindset that who a person is today is static and fixed. And I know him, I know what he does. That's B. Wickham, he's a talk show host. I know the line he's good on, and that is it. And we wanted to make the point that, no, it's not as simple as that. And it never was. And it certainly isn't now in a time when the environment around us is transforming as rapidly and as drastically as it is. We can't afford to be static in our view of ourselves and who we are. We have to be able to adapt, and we have to be flexible, and we have to be able to roll with the punches and transform ourselves as need be, while maintaining a particular core and a particular essence, whatever that core, that essence may be for you. So this was what we tried to accomplish. And as Alison said, we were nervous about it because we know how sometimes people can be. We know the attitudes that we're faced with. So my approach is I believe in self-directed learning. So when I entered the space, I gave the participants some options in terms of titling the course. And those options were based on three pillars: personal identity, cultural identity, and transformation. And the title for the course that the participants came up with was creating a culture of transformational personalities. And that's really what we want. We want to create a society, as you said, Peter, that appreciates diversity, that has an openness to differences of opinion, differences of approaches, differences in background and sensitivities, and is able to work in a culturally diverse environment and adapt to changes in culture. Because as some people have noted, there is not one Barbados, there are many Barbadoses, and a Barbadian needs to be able to walk through those many Barbadoses, because we're too small for people to sequester themselves and seclude themselves in their own little particular Barbados for very long. And even if you can, that's not a platform that Barbados can grow on. We need to be interactive and to be able to interact.
Okay. Dr. Leacock, what is the timeline on the initiative? Is this an initiative that is expected to run the course of the COVID response? Is this something that is here with us for the long term? What can we expect from you in terms of the lifespan?
Well, our initial lifespan was for 3 years. I know from my work with Live Up, which is behavior change, that is not a sprint, it is a marathon. And it is at minimum that you hope to see the manifestation of real transformation around or about 10 years. So I expect that, and I certainly hope that the government and the people of Barbados see the merit in this. And this is, of course, a challenge to myself and the team to ensure that what we do is effective enough to demonstrate its value, that people want to retain it and build on it and strengthen it going forward, strengthening it. So that is certainly my hope. I do not see that we were not set up for COVID. We are not a knee-jerk reaction to COVID, and neither are we a tourism program. We are a national program that is truly training for transformation. And that is why the change of name became urgent, because the expectation was that we would be an institute, and we're not. We're an initiative that will be moving on being innovative and utilizing the best skills available to Barbados to help us transform. We don't have all the answers, but we want to find the best answers. We want to be able to showcase. And we do have some programs. We have other change activists. We have Seth Bavell, who has a funny web series that looks at a number of Bajan habits. Larry Reason is what it's called. Alex Jordan is a transformation activist who has a series that will show Barbadians who took it upon themselves to innovate and have excelled right here in Barbados. So it is about widening our net and our perspective on what training is. It is more than doing a course and getting a certificate. I remember being very disturbed when I went into a class when I was in charge of UEDEC, which was Distance Education Center at the time. Now they open campus. And the first question a student asked me, "Ma'am, what is going to be on the final exam?" The first day. So the, and I know that that is the norm to a large extent now. So we want to really move from just getting the certificate and seeing that as an insurance policy for the future, to really enjoying the journey of learning and recognizing that we can re-equip ourselves to adapt to anything with the level of resilience that we've demonstrated during COVID.
I just got a question from someone online who is asking about, right, I don't know if it's a mischievous question or a real question, is whether the initiative expects to generate revenue. So will you at any point in time be charging for courses? Will you be expecting that that will be the direction that you'll be going in as far as certification is concerned, and, you know, charging fees for courses in the way that other people would do eventually? Is that on the agenda?
It's not on our current agenda. I'm being straight up on that. But that does not mean that if we develop and recognize going forward that there are specific demands in niche areas or otherwise, that it may well be that certain types of courses will merit expertise that may have an additional cost. And even if it is supplemented, it may be still offered at a nominal fee. That's a reality that obviously we could not ignore, especially in light of where we are now with COVID and national agendas. But at this juncture, that is not on the cards.
That's good news. The question of collaboration. So you mentioned collaboration with the Barbados Workers Union. You mentioned one with the Association of the Disabled. Alison, you mentioned that you have a few other artivists that are coming online, Seth Bovell and my other good friend, whose name eludes me.
Alex Jordan.
Which brings some excitement to it, because I think that we know these individuals and we know that they're people who can hold our attention. Are there any other collaborations that you're expecting, especially agency related collaborations like with the Workers Union? Are there any others that you may want to tell us about now that are likely to come on stream within the next year or so? I don't know whether Adrian or Maria might want to talk about any other collaborations or.
Yeah, I do expect to be involved in many collaborations. And like you said, there are a number of Barbadians, especially in my area, the area of the arts and culture, there are a number of Barbadians who really have been doing artivist work for a very long time, just not having called that. So at some point in time, we'd like to engage other artists, other individuals, as you said, who can hold a Barbadian attention and get them on board in advocating for creating a culture of transformational personalities.
Maria, any ideas on specific targeted associations that you're thinking about outside of the Association of the Disabled?
Well, it would mean first goal is to make sure that all persons with disabilities are on board. So we would be looking to partner, obviously, with all of the different associations and to bring everyone on board with us, so that we, when we go forward, to hire and different arrangements or stuff with different organizations, everyone will be going forward together. But we don't have, at this present moment, a specific entity that we are looking to. We're still trying to build, and set the platform. So we have not identified a particular entity that we want to become, but we know for sure all persons with disabilities will be going forward with us.
Okay. All right. Alison, we are coming on to the final minutes of the program, and I just want to use the opportunity to ask you to tell us basically how do we get. There's a website which I've already consulted. The website is very nicely set out. It's nti.org.bb, nti.org.bb. Is there anything more that you can tell us about the process? How do we get registered? How do we begin? And how do we go through it, the process?
Certainly, yeah. Once you log on, you're reminded that it is free access, and you just answer a few questions so that we can set up your personal dashboard that allows you to access a range of courses that are on the platform and navigate across the board. If you're particularly interested in training, there is a menu line. You click on that and all of the courses are available to you. Once you've started a course, if you want to pause and come back to it tomorrow night, you're free to do that. There are no restrictions, but you can't skip ahead to try to get the certificate without doing the tests. So you have to do that. We have a media center that captures a number of things that we feel have relevance. They're not traditional courses, but they are learning modalities that are engaging for people who might be more excited by that approach as opposed to the traditional. And those include the series by Seth and Alex, as well as materials from our blended workshops with the Barbados Workers Union Labour College. We also obviously will continue to explore partnerships. We've already spoken to the Samuel Jackman Prescott, I always want to call it Polytechnic Institute, the Barbados Community College. We have also met with the principal and new dean of the new Faculty of Arts, Culture and Creative Performing Arts at UWI. But ultimately, what we hope through this process of partnerships and initiatives that we post on our site, and even personal responses to individual requests, that we are building confidence and capacity in our people to be STARB agents.
All right, excellent. And I should make the point that as you go through this site, it is particularly helpful that these videos are inserted as a walkthrough. And I found it fairly easy to navigate, especially for that reason, that from the time you go onto this site, the first thing that you get is a welcome and an introduction, and there's a video associated with it, then there's a step-through video in terms of registration, and everything is nicely laid out. So certainly I want to congratulate you for so quickly creating that environment in which we can have a new kind of learning experience. I think it's excellent. So Alison, I want to thank you and the team, Adrian and Maria, for being first up this morning, for spending some time with us. I have an invitation here for you for another media experience, which I shall send to you shortly. Internal within Starcom, of course. So this is someone who's hoping that they can have you on to talk about this excellent initiative on their program on Sunday. So I will forward that information, and hopefully we can have more discussion. I should also tell those of you who are listening that if there are any of you who are unable to get through this morning, that because the phone lines are often clogged with the regular callers that want to discuss other things that we weren't putting through, you raise anything on the program, you can raise it during the course of this program. And if we can't answer it directly, you get back to either Alison, Maria, or Adrian for further information in that regard. So again, thank you so much for being part of the program this morning and for engaging us. And I guess I should give you the last word. That's only reasonable.
Oh, I thought I had already had the last word. I would let the team have some final words if they can.
So Maria, we can let you go first.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to encourage persons. I've been having dialogue with a lot of persons with disabilities who have been going on the site, and they have been reporting about the success of the easiness of the navigating the website. So I just want to encourage all those others who have not been on as yet, just go on nta.org.bb and just make sure that we create and take the opportunity that was created for us.
Okay, great. Adrian, final words for you, sir?
I want to commend the government on taking this initiative, particularly in light of changing the name from the National Training Initiative to the National Transformation Initiative. And I think that this is a very brave step, because governments are oftentimes loath to deal with things that they cannot easily measure and put a dollar sign to and say that this directly contributes to the GDP. And that's the mindset that really pervades the entire world. If it don't make dollars directly, it don't make sense. But what we are learning is that a lot of things which maybe are not as easily quantified as some other things, the soft skills that we need to navigate this world are stuff that are things that need training and need education or educating in as well. So like Dr. Leacock said, this is not an easy task. It is not a three-year task at all. This is a long-term measure. And I am pleased to be a part of it. And I'm looking forward to it bearing fruit and for people recognizing the fruit that it has borne and the need for this initiative.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen and ladies. We appreciate your participation very much. And I wish you all the best in this new initiative.
Thank you very much, Peter.